B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Scoreboard watching. 28. Next one breaks the record. That's got a chance. There's the record. 29-30. Did that one get over at the end? Did he get two? Vladimir Guerrero. We got 28 on the board, which would tie Josh Hamilton for most of the round. Now it's 29. He breaks the home run derby record for home runs in a round.
Zolak and Bertrand on a Tuesday. Zolak out, Hardy in. McCone is here. McTakey is here as T-Bone today. No Louth again. Louth is back at the end of the week, though, from what I see on the schedule, assuming it is accurate.
He's in like Thursday, Friday, right?
Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Don't worry.
He'll be back.
Hey, can I ask you something?
What's up?
Did you watch any of Felger Maz yesterday?
I did not.
Maz is signed into this computer over here. So I think Maz sat here yesterday.
No, he didn't.
Where did he sit?
Hardy's seat.
Where Hardy is right now?
Yeah.
All right. Isn't that Maz's, doesn't that look like his screensaver there?
I think he came and sat down, signed in, and then...
Oh, okay. All right.
I was going to say that is absolutely Maz signed into that computer.
All right.
Unless someone else has a picture of Maz's two sons as their wallpaper.
That's a delightful photo.
That would be a little bit awkward, but it might be happening. It might be true.
Like something Sarge might do.
But
just a beautiful picture.
I mean, those are the Maserati boys.
Yeah.
You know, students, good kids. Right?
Okay, but Maz did sit here. Okay,
all right.
I'm back.
Okay.
I'm focused. Let's go.
Right.
Let's go.
I mean, here we are again.
Let's go.
Here we are. Oh, yeah, there's the still shot of Felger and Maz.
All right.
Okay.
I'll go over to BJ's and get you a new TV.
How big is that?
I'll mount that sumbitch up.
That
sounds like a 40.
I think it's about a 50.
I think that's a 40-inch.
You got a tape measure?
I
bet if someone were to go downstairs and ask engineering for a tape measure, we could get an accurate measurement. I'd like to do that before the end of the show today.
Have you ever used that app that uses your camera and it gives you a measurement?
Oh, there's an app for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Oh, does McCone have it? You're going to download it right now.
Okay, McCone, okay. We'll put you in charge of that.
Nice.
I don't think you don't have to download it. I think it's just on your phone now.
Really?
What?
What, in utilities or something?
What's it called, T-Bone? What's it called? As we all reach for our phones. What's that app called? Tap that app.
It's called Measure.
Measure, as Zoe said.
Measure.
Measure.
A new Apple app called Measure.
Get a good look at that.
It's right there. Look at that.
Get a good. Now remember, you got to measure it corner to corner. That's how TVs are.
Right.
Excuse me. Monitors are measured, as Zoe said.
I can tell he's doing it wrong already.
Yeah. 100% doing
this. Okay. Well, just. Yeah. Maybe this isn't the best use of our time here.
Yeah, probably not. And again, we're doing this. Hardy and I are being forced to sit right next to each other because of a broken monitor in the studio.
All right.
It's been demanded of us that we sit very close to one another because no one wants a broken monitor in a television shot. What do you got?
What do you got for a measurement?
This is harder than it looks.
Okay.
It's probably not that hard.
We'll let him do that.
All right, Zoe and Beetle here on a Tuesday. Hardy in for Zoe. As you heard there last night, home run derby. Major League Baseball All-Star break happening in Cleveland. You watched that thing last night?
I watched parts of it, yes.
I watched, I'd say, 90% of it.
Oh, I cannot. I cannot.
And because I really wanted to like it. I really did. And I typically and historically have really enjoyed the Home Run Derby. You know what I've realized I don't like?
The Home Run Derby?
No. The new format.
Okay. I have issues with the format, but I'll tell you mine later. Go ahead.
I don't like the new format.
All right. What don't you like?
Too many home runs. And it has not shortened the Home Run Derby at all.
No.
It still takes all night to complete the Home Run Derby. I thought the point of the new format was to move the Home Run Derby along and make it so that the Home Run Derby does not take all night.
So for
the Home Run Derby still takes all night.
So for those who did not watch, can you break down the format? Can you do it succinctly?
It is now a timed format.
Yes.
In which you are given time. You are given a timeout. There are chances for extra time to be added on. So it is a timed format as opposed to an out format where you're given X amount of outs, in which home runs are home runs and balls that do not make it out of the park are outs, which is the previous format that was used.
Yes.
Which I have found I enjoyed more.
Well, it more closely replicates what it means to hit a home run. When these guys are the time format, and it's essentially a swing through, bring the bat back, and the next pitch is coming through. I mean, baseball doesn't work like that. Home runs aren't hit like that. And there are consequences when you don't hit the home run with the outs. So I liked the out format better. And I just see these guys, and I've never been one to really worry about guys getting damaged somehow from participating in the Home Run Derby. But in this timed format, when you're just trying to hit as many as you can in X amount of time, I'm watching that going like, oh, this could really screw up your swing. You know, it's essentially an exhibition, you know? So if you're just going out there and toying around, it's something resembling almost like a practice. You wouldn't practice like that. You know, you wouldn't groove your swing to be able to do that, to swing the bat as hard as you can, as many times as you can in a certain amount of time. You want quality swings. And that's what I think is really kind of off about this whole idea of doing it in a timed version. I've never liked the timed version. If you screw up, you make an out and then you're done. To me, that you got to have consequences when you don't succeed. It shouldn't just be about how many can you hit in this amount of time.
Yeah, it's just guys that are rushing to take hacks.
Yes.
It's just not as enjoyable.
No.
You know what I sort of miss? And you know what? It's almost jarring now when it happens. Guys who take pitches. When you see it now, it does happen.
Yeah.
They take a pitch and you're like, oh, why didn't you swing? And that used to be something that happened all the time.
All the time.
Guys would take pitches
all the
time.
Which is how baseball works.
Right. Because you're like, oh, that one's not good to hit. I'll wait for one that's good to hit. And it didn't happen a lot. It wasn't like a guy would take 8 or 9 pitches in a row before he swung the bat, but he would wait for a better pitch to hit out of the park.
Yes.
I like the old format better. If we're going to take all night to do this thing, why not go back to the old format? The reasoning to go to the new format was it was going to be a little bit faster. We're going to move it along, right?
More exciting.
It's going to be more exciting. And I guess if you want 300 home runs, you got them last night. I don't need the volume. The volume doesn't do it.
Less is more.
It's the drama of the guys that would go on a run that would have, you know, an out or two remaining.
Yes.
And would keep it alive.
Yes.
That, to me, were the best home run derby moments. The streaks when a guy could hit 5 or 6 home runs in a row to keep himself alive. It misses that now. Now it's just a guy racing against the clock taking hacks. I don't know. I'm not enjoying it as much. I like the old format better. I want the old format back.
Yeah,
I don't like the new format as much.
And I didn't love the old format, but I watched more of the old format than I have found myself watching of this new format, without question. And it's just, I don't know what it is I'm watching, but it is something that resembles baseball and a real exhibition of how many home runs you can hit less than what it was before. So it just doesn't hold that much interest for me.
There was really only one thing that I look at last night and say that's a huge positive for baseball, and it's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. That's it. That's your positive. You want to take away something positive for the sport? Vlad Guerrero Jr. There it is. Pete Alonso winning. Who cares? Who cares? Nobody cares about that.
No.
This will be remembered as the Vlad Guerrero Jr. Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
Yeah. The same way 1999 is remembered as the Mark McGwire Home Run Derby. He didn't win that one. Ken Griffey Jr. won that one.
But it was his coming out party.
Tim McCone, shocked to learn that. 20 years after the fact, Tim McCone is shocked to learn Mark McGwire did not win the Home Run Derby in 1999 at Fenway Park.
Look, you still can't believe it.
Ken Griffey Jr. won that one. In fact, turn his microphone up. There you go. Yeah, the moonshots over the wall.
Yeah,
left.
That's all you see in terms of the highlights.
He didn't even make it to the final round. I believe the final round was Jeremy Burnett's.
Oh,
Jeremy Burnett's. Oh, was he playing for the Brewers at the time? Yeah. Jeremy Burnett's of the Milwaukee Brewers. It's Algonquin for the Goodland. Against Ken Griffey Jr. Yes. That was it. That was your final, and Griffey won. And Griffey barely got out of the first round. So that's how they go. Sometimes the guy who hits the most home runs doesn't end or goes on a monster streak or has the memorable night, doesn't win. Doesn't matter. We all remember what Mark McGwire did. We're all going to remember what Vlad Guerrero Jr. did last night. That was memorable. It doesn't really matter who wins. That was a positive for baseball. The new format sucks. There's a player who's very critical of the commissioner of baseball. That always gets my attention because you know that I'm very critical of the commissioner of baseball.
And I understand the criticism. I think he's a little off base, though.
It's Justin Verlander. He has something to say about Rob Manfred and the direction of the game. He says there's too much offense in the sport. We'll tell you what he said coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Still don't know how big the monitors are, but we do have a cost assessment.
How do you know how much it costs?
I found out from the I actually don't know Jim's official title. Director of everything.
Jim who?
Director of technical aspects for NBC Sports Boston.
He might be a chief of some kind.
Oh, a chief engineer. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, in charge of things.
What did he say?
A boss man.
What did he say?
Monitor will be swapped out today. Don't know what time. Okay. They can feel free to do it right in the middle of this show because that is not in the camera shot. As we know, we've moved Hardy over. So if they want to come in right now, they could do it right in the middle of the show. I will not object to that.
By the way, this doesn't bother me. I kind of like it.
I can't stand it.
I like it.
Cost is $1,000.
Oof. Seems high.
Well, it's a high definition.
is it high def?
It's high def.
That's not a tube TV.
No, but it's high definition
not a CRT.
There's something that's special about these where the hookups are different in the back. Have you looked behind these? The cables that go into these.
Here's what I wonder.
They look a little different than your everyday TV.
I wonder if they have to be a special kind of TV where you can take a shot of the TV, because normally when you take a video or point a camera at a TV, it's all that weird pixelation. So this might be an ultra high res type of television set.
That doesn't happen with TVs anymore.
Sure it does. If you point your camera, if you try and take a video of your television set, it's all like wavy and grainy. It has to do with like pixels or resolution or something like that. All right. So that costs $1,000.
$1,000 each.
Yeah.
And he says it's the third one this year. Which I believe is correct. That was three by my count.
Well,
there's one that's still broken over here. That hasn't been fixed. You get on that anytime you want, Jim. There's one over here, which is new. That's a new one. We walked in. Came back from vacation. What happened here? And then there was the one that Zoe, admittedly, got up one day in his chair, grazed the edge of that screen, and it just spidered. That was...
You're saying Zoe broke one of the TVs?
And believe it or not, it was an honest mistake, and he wasn't even, doing anything out of the norm. It's at chair height. What do you expect him to do?
Yeah. You put a TV
and
we
move a lot of chairs in and out, and there was another chair behind, and he just happened to get up, and a chair bumped into it.
But letting you know that it's the third one this year is a passive aggressive statement.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so. Like I broke any of these. I didn't break a single one. I'm not responsible for any of the broken TVs.
No. TV tells me that they're swapping. They're not replacing. So they're taking one that's not necessarily in all the shots.
Oh, so they're taking one of the ones from over here.
Yeah.
That's fine. You got too many of them anyway. Take a few down. Take the broken ones out. I mean, what do we really need two over by McCollum?
$3,000 in TVs, less than a year.
Cost of doing business. Cost of business, fellas. 8 hours of this content every day? Mm-hmm. What do you think? That comes cheap?
No, cost of doing business with the Sports Hub?
That's right.
Priceless.
Priceless. Priceless content. 617-779-0985. Dan Shaughnessy will be with us coming up at 11 a.m. today. Meanwhile, Justin Verlander says MLB is juicing the baseballs for more offense.
Yeah.
He said the baseballs are a bleeping joke. He used the F word. The F dash 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 word. And that he believes 100% the league has implemented juiced balls to increase offense. Verlander, who's now 36 years old, has allowed a major league high 26 home runs this season.
Oh.
So he's got a personal vested interest in the juiced balls. Overall, players have hit 3,691 home runs in the season's first half, and they are on pace this year to hit. Ready for this number?
Yeah.
Right now, major league players on pace to hit 6,668 home runs, which would absolutely smash the record from 2017 of 6,105. They're going to beat it by more than 500 home runs this year. They're going to crush it. Conversations about a juiced ball have percolated since after the All-Star break in 2015, after which home runs spiked. They are up nearly 60% from the 2014 season, and MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred commissioned a study to investigate whether the balls were contributing to the home run spike. It concluded the balls were performing differently, but didn't attribute a reason. In June of 2018, 1 month after the study was released, MLB bought Rawlings, the supplier of the official Major League ball. I did not know that part, by the way. McTakey, did you know that? You didn't know that either. Rawlings, now a Major League Baseball property. They are not independent of baseball anymore. Baseball now makes their own baseballs. They own Rawlings.
So that number once again, Beetle, they are on pace for how many this season?
6,600 and 6,668.
Okay.
6,668 home runs.
So just to give you an idea, going back, and we'll take it back 10 years.
Okay.
Just over 5,000 10 years ago. Then it dips into the 4,000s for the next 6-7 years. 4,600, 4,500, 4,900, 4,600, 4,200, almost 5,000 in 2015. And then it starts ticking up. 5,600 in 2016. 6,100 in 2017. Last year it was down to about 5,600. And now they're on pace for nearly 6,700 home runs. Now, there was a time in the early 2000s when it was all up over 5,000 for a period of 9 years. So there is some ebb and flow to it, but these totals are certainly the most that we've seen. Never has it gone over 6,000, went over 6,000 2 years ago, and it's almost certainly going to eclipse that by a wide margin this year.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what I love about this. Any player that's willing to take on the commissioner of their sport, bravo. Good job. Justin Verlander, way to go. Even if he's completely wrong, and I think he might be, good for you. Take on the commissioner. Go after Rob Manfred. NFL players, take on Commissioner Roger Goodell. Go right after them. You're going to take on something going on in your sport? You think it's dead wrong? You think something's happening? You think there's an injustice? Have at it. Speak your mind. Good for you. Love that part of this. And then I don't think Justin Verlander's ever been afraid to say something when he feels something is wrong. He's been an outspoken player in his career. He's never been afraid to say his piece. Do I think there's a conspiracy with Major League Baseball with the baseballs to juice them? Probably not. Are the baseballs maybe a little juiced? Yeah, they might be. There could be some differences in the manufacturing of the baseballs that make them a little tighter than they used to be. Yep. And the fact that Major League Baseball purchased Rawlings is a little bit suspicious. I won't lie. That's an interesting look that Major League Baseball commissioned a study into this and then all of a sudden bought the manufacturer. And so, you know what? We're just going to buy you guys out. Why don't we just buy you? But J.D. Martinez talked about this. And J.D. Martinez believes why this is happening. He said the hitter's approach is why this has changed.
Thank you.
And said that his fastball velocity has grown from pitchers, their control has waned. And that the way the approach to the plate has changed in the game, it's gone from all or nothing.
Home run or strikeout.
Home run or strikeout. Strikeouts are right through the roof too.
Right.
Where is that in the story? Where's that angle, Verlander? He's like forgetting the other part of this. So that as home runs have gone up, strikeouts have gone up.
So when you look at the numbers, I understand why Justin Verlander would say that. And just from a purely, you know, selfish reason, it's like, hey, I'm not pitching any different. I'm giving up all these home runs. Baseball is juiced. Okay, well, that's anecdotal evidence. And that's so I understand why he's saying that. I don't agree with him either. I think it has more to do with the approach at the plate. And how tough would it be to actually commission a study? And it shouldn't be upon Justin Verlander to spend his own money and, you know, hire some researchers. You tell me you can't get a hold of a few baseballs from a year or two ago before Major League Baseball actually bought the company and compare the two, see how tightly they're wound? I know one's older than the other, and it's not going to be a perfect experiment, but, you know.
No, they did. They found they were different and then didn't know why. Couldn't reach a conclusion. You know, we can't figure out a conclusion as to why these balls are different, but we're going to buy the company. What? I'm sorry?
But they did it. The balls were different. The balls were different.
Can someone please calibrate the machine over there that's winding the baseballs? Someone? Like, there could be something wrong in the manufacturing that is making this happen.
There could be.
And there have long been accusations that in the home run derby, when they make the home run derby balls, that they, you know, turn the machine a little tighter, wind those balls a little tighter.
Well, why wouldn't you? That's what the whole point
nice,
of it is.
Tight balls for those home run derby balls. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
They're not for competition.
But it was already like that before Major League Baseball purchased Rawlings.
Correct. And now all of a sudden they own it. So how is it? Nefarious activities are probably cranked up even more over there now.
No, now they're sanctioned.
Now you report to me. I am the captain now. That's what's going on at Rawlings now.
I just think that this, you know, these home run totals, you know, have and the strikeout totals have been going up for a while, and just more and more players are adopting this philosophy. You know, it's you see it across Major League Baseball. You see strikeouts up some 20% from the year 2000.
JD Martinez, here's a quote from him. It's a power arm league. It's either a walk or a strikeout. Stuff over command. I think you see a lot more mistakes over the plate. The velocity of the guys are trying to hit the ball in the air. I think it's a recipe for home runs. That's what JD Martinez said. I think he's on the money. And yeah, the baseballs might be a little tight. It might be a little juice, but that's not what's caused this. It might be a combination of factors. But I'll give Justin Verlander credit for going after Manfred. Good for him.
But if you've got
something weird there.
If you've got a 20% increase in strikeouts from, you know, the year 2000, the home runs haven't increased 20%. It's close. You know, back in 2000, they hit almost 5,700 home runs. And they're going to be, if they go on pace and stay this blistering pace, they'll be close to 6,700. So, yeah, it's close, but the approach at the plate could explain this. And maybe in conjunction with the ball being a little hotter, tiny bit hotter, just a little bit.
Swapping is correct on the monitors. They didn't buy us any new ones. Yeah, swapping.
Okay.
Swapping on the monitors. Got another update. Good. That even just that second text, that feels a little passive aggressive, doesn't it, Artie? I don't think they're happy with us.
Those TVs look bigger than these TVs. But maybe it's because they're horizontal as opposed to...
I think they're the same. I think we'll be great. 617-779-0985. Again, you can do it right now. We're open for business. Hey, did you see Gronk was with Brady yesterday?
Yeah.
We just talked about Rob Gronkowski yesterday.
Sure. Call me when the playoffs start.
Call me when the playoffs start. And then he goes out yesterday and throws with Tom Brady at UCLA.
Did he, though?
We'll talk about it next.
All right.
Your smart speaker knows a lot about Boston sports.
Stupid me.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
everybody. It's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Joe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm just chilling, man. I'm down in the Bahamas right now, just relaxing. I'm sipping my water, and I got your electrolytes in it, Tom. So don't worry, baby. I got the electrolytes in the water, and I'm sipping on a protein margarita, Tom. So I'm just chilling. Thank you. I love you. I miss you.
But
I'm just relaxing, homie.
There's no chance, Rob. This is Tom.
You know, call me when you get to the playoffs.
That was Rob Gronkowski just days ago with Rich Eisen in the Bahamas saying, call me when you get to the playoffs. I'm in the Bahamas sipping on a margarita. Leave me the hell alone. Having fun with it. And then this came out yesterday from Andrew Callahan at MassLive.com. The Patriots won't report to training camp for another 2.5 weeks, but Tom Brady is already hard at work with a familiar face. Brady threw to Rob Gronkowski during a private workout Monday on the UCLA campus, a source told Mass Live. Gronkowski retired in March after a 9-year career in New England that should one day land him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The former All-Pro tight end is in Los Angeles for the second annual Monster Energy. Oh, here we go with Monster Energy again. The second annual Monster Energy 50K Charity Challenge celebrity basketball game set to tip off at UCLA's Pauley Pavilion on Monday night. Gronkowski told the Rich Eisen show last week he's enjoying retirement, saying, quote, I can't really say how I'm going to feel about it when the games start rolling around and everything. That is the clip that we just played. Now he's out there throwing with Brady. Obviously, there's no footage of this. We don't know how serious this was, whether it was, you know, a real workout or not, or if it was two guys just getting together on the field, playing, having a catch.
I mean, that's how I looked at it. Once I read it and I said, oh, he's out in L.A. anyway for his Monster Energy thing.
I can vroom, vroom really good.
Yeah, vroom, vroom, Monster Energy. Here we go again.
That was a dark day.
Sure was. By the way, Brady's personal trainer and business partner, Alex Guerrero, was also present for the private session.
Oh, good.
Not sure what that was all about, what he was doing.
It's not serious work if Guerrero's or it is serious
work. It is, right? It wouldn't be just a catch if Alex was there.
I don't know what Alex means in this whole equation.
But
anymore.
Alex has
really
worked
don't.
With both of them. I mean, he's a personal friend of both of these guys.
Yeah.
So it could just be a group of friends hanging out.
I think it's a couple of guys having a catch. I honestly do. I don't think it necessarily has to be anything more than that. Now, of course, it's in the realm of possibility that Gronkowski comes back and plays at some point, but he has done nothing and said nothing to indicate to me that that's changed. Nothing has changed for me than going back to 7-8 months ago when he first sounded like a guy who was done playing football after this year. Has he said anything that makes it sound like he's not done?
No.
So
nothing in the way he is spoken.
He played catch with his buddy.
And again, we don't even know how much, you know, catching was actually going on, a private workout. We don't know how serious of a workout it was.
Right.
Brady may have been going through one of his normal workouts and Gronk happened to be on the UCLA campus and stop by, right?
Right.
He's got an event at UCLA. Right?
Vroom, vroom.
The Vroom Vroom 50K Charity Challenge. Right?
I can vroom vroom really good.
So Rob Gronkowski had a charity event that started last night on UCLA's campus. Brady has been known to work out on UCLA's campus.
Mm-hmm.
So Rob Gronkowski had reason to be on UCLA's campus on Monday. Brady was on that campus. Brady and Gronk get together. It may have been nothing more than that, and while they were together, they threw the football around a little bit.
Correct. I don't think it's anything more than that. I really don't.
Based on Rob Gronkowski's statements this offseason, I would believe that it's more that than anything serious. And calling it you know, getting together for a private workout. That makes it sound more serious than it probably was.
Just the headline, throw during private workout at UCLA campus. Well, if it was so private, how did word get out? What's the point of even talking about if it's supposed to be? I mean, somebody spilled the beans on it.
Well, there are other people that are allowed on the UCLA campus that probably saw it.
Yeah, and
it's not like they shut down the campus because Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski want to use a field there.
But if it really means something and it's an indicator of, you know, what might happen or could happen, wouldn't they do it in total privacy somewhere? Why do it on the UCLA campus?
Hard to find a football field.
Maybe hard to get people interested in Rob Gronkowski these days beyond his involvement or his possible return to football.
Oh.
What has Rob Gronkowski done since he left the game? I've been told about all the stuff that he's going to do in the movies and the, oh my God, the wrestling.
He's doing charity basketball tournaments.
Well, and I don't expect him to have a movie out already, but I was always really hesitant to say, oh, he's got a career in all these different areas as long as he leaves football and he can make a ton of money. Has Rob Gronkowski done anything or indicated that he's got any project going of any kind,
no,
much less something that would get him a lot of attention?
No.
So if he needs to draw attention to himself or wants to draw attention to himself, this could be Tom Brady just doing him a solid. Hey, buddy, things a little quiet on the Rob Gronkowski brand. Well, what do you say you and I get together and have a catch? We'll let word get out. That'll increase the clicks on whatever it is you're doing, whether it's Monster Energy or a Bluetooth football or appearing at the Kids' Choice Awards. He's not blowing up every spot that he shows up in. And why should he? He's retired. And he retired from football. He's still a young guy, and I'm sure he's going to do something. But I don't put it on Rob Gronkowski to go have a second or third career that approaches anywhere near the success level that he already had in football. That's not a reasonable expectation, but a lot of people still expect it of him. I don't. If he wants to be out there and he wants his name known, there's a good way to do it.
The Patriots have made some announcements on the start of training camp, when it will get underway, start times, dates, and why you may want to pay close attention to those dates, because you're going to have limited opportunities to see the Patriots in training camp. I'll explain that coming up right after this.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Think about what this song was for a second. You never hear the beginning of this. Thanks, T-Bone.
Is this the touchdown song?
It is. It is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This song sucks. Oh my God, does this song suck?
You know, the beginning is better than the chorus.
We should all suffer. We should all suffer because of a friendship with Bon Jovi. Yeah, no, we all need to suffer because of that. Sure. We all like Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Just play the hits, please. And this is not one of them. Training camp will open on July 25th. The gates will open at 8 a.m. on Thursday, July 25th in Foxborough. They will have practices at 9:15 a.m. on the 25th. The 26th, which is a Friday, and the 27th, which is Saturday. All of those practices will be at 9:15 a.m. on the practice fields behind Gillette Stadium. That is the start of training camp for your 2019 Patriots. Those are the first three announced dates. And I believe, Hardy, we are going to see record crowds like we always see. We always see the record crowds, right?
Running down the hills, slipping on that grassy knoll.
Favorite. It's always my favorite.
That is the best.
But there are going to be, I believe, that this is me. I haven't heard this officially, but I'm just doing the math on this. I think there will be fewer opportunities to see training camp practices this year than in previous years, simply because the Patriots are going on the road. The Patriots have joint practices lined up with the Lions and with the Titans in the second and third week of the preseason, which would mean those are fewer practices here at home in Foxborough.
So
right?
you're going to get the 1 week leading up to game one, and you won't see them again until they're back home before game four against the Giants.
So they have joint practices lined up the 5th, 6th, and 7th with the Detroit Lions. Those are dates that are on the road. They then have other dates lined up with the Titans.
In the following week, in week three.
Right.
Yeah.
They'll have joint sessions ahead of their game, which is on August 17th against Tennessee. So that's just me. That's just, you know, me doing the quick math on that. If you're going on the road and you're doing joint practices the following 2 weeks early in the preseason,
yep,
that would, I would assume, mean fewer practices that would be open here. So it could mean a couple, you know, might be a handful of fewer open practices on this end at home, right? You're giving up some of the home dates,
mm-hmm,
so to speak, which would mean grab every opportunity you can get to see the Patriots in training camp at home, which could mean some really outrageous crowds trying to see them when they're here.
Ah, there it is.
There's, you know, a ridiculous demand as always. Another Super Bowl win. And now there's fewer practices.
If you've got a couple at home and then
supply is being limited.
Right, I understand. Yeah. And once it starts and you got a couple of weeks in, people are less inclined, I think, to come out during that final week leading into the final preseason game. It's, you know, it's the start of it. You know, football's back. You want to go see it. You know, you haven't seen it now. Oh, it's been 4 or 5 months since I had a chance to see this. So people are going to want to be down there first week anyway, now knowing that they won't have a chance for the following 2 weeks. Yep.
Yeah, and it's usually over after that, like, third week.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. 3 weeks in, it's over.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that the first Saturday is going to be downright stupid. That's my guess, that the first Saturday of training camp will be absolutely insane. You know, they load up the ramps with people when they have overflow now. They put people in the back stadium ramp. If you've been to Gillette Stadium, you know where the Giants scoreboard is. You know where the banners are. The ramp behind that is where they put people on the ramps to overlook the practice fields. That thing's going to be full. They can guarantee it, assuming it's not pouring rain or something that day.
Now, had you not, if you're not down there working, have you been to a training camp session like that before? Like just gone down to watch as a spectator?
Like ever?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you attend those even when you're not working there just to go and watch?
Many times.
Okay. It's not something I would do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not to go watch practice.
Oh, I've been going my whole life. I miss Smithfield like crazy. I miss Bryant College. That was the best. Smithfield, the old days, if Jim were here, Jim and I could reminisce about training camp practices at Bryant College for hours. We could sit here and like trade and swap stories about things we saw at training camp under, you know, Bill Parcells and Pete Carroll and the early Belichick years. We could talk about it for days.
Not nearly as much.
We should do a podcast, training camp stories, with Beadle and Louth.
Subscribe right now.
We'd get all kinds of Patriot Bobos subscribing to that.
Automatic download.
And we could have guests. We could just have former, like, obscure Patriot players coming on, telling their stories of coaches that yelled at them in training camp, and we would get people to listen to it. I'm going to issue a guarantee on that, too,
yeah,
if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
First guest, Scott Zolak.
Just set that thing up for autoplay. I don't care if it downloads in the middle of the night. I want it to wake me up so I can hear it as soon as it drops. But it was much less of a thing then as it is now.
It was not really. I mean, people went, but it was not a production like it is now.
What were the numbers, would you guess?
Oh, a couple thousand. I mean, if you went on a Tuesday, and by the way, there were double practices then. You could go morning or afternoon.
2 days, sure.
You would pick, do you want to go to the 9 a.m. or the 3 p.m.? And if you went on Tuesday at 9 a.m., you might show up and there might be 400 people there. Or you might, if it were bad weather, you might go and there might be like 200 people there. And you were standing in the end zone behind like a piece of rope.
And there's Beetle. Hi, Drew.
Yep.
Well, it is far surpassed that now. And for a lot of people, I get it. This is really the only way you're going to get a chance to see this team live all year long.
I remember the Giants coming up for joint practices like 19 when I was like little.
Yeah.
When the Giants were good.
I think it's a great thing.
And the Patriots sucked.
I think, you know what? I'm happy for the people that go, and I think it's great that the Patriots do it because, you know, the tickets, if you're not priced out of the market, they're just hard to come by. You know, it's not easy to take your kids to a game.
They weren't selling anything there back in the day. You couldn't buy a they eventually added that, but there were no concessions or anything.
Sure.
It was just a field.
What about big birthday cards? Were any players presented with big birthday cards?
No, that all sort of got added by the end of the days at Bryant, but not in the early days.
No.
They didn't have anything. Bring a cooler. People brought coolers, like, to go to the ballpark.
Yeah.
And, you know, go sit at the field.
That I would do. Now it's...
They added some small metal bleachers and stuff by the end.
Nice.
But, yeah. It was not the production that it is now. Not at all. Not like it is now. Very different now. Different world.
Tales from training camp. We got to come up with
Tales from
for
training
the
camp with Beetle and Louth, and we're going to have random guests at every week. Obscure Patriot players. And you know what? We should angle for guys that were training camp stars that didn't make the team. Like PK Sam, right? Angle for guys that had huge training camps and you're like, this guy's good. Sean Morey. You know, guys that are just awesome training camp stars that you thought were going to make the team and were going to be great.
So you're looking like for the 97 version of Buddy Farnham. That's what you're
looking. Buddy Farnham.
Okay.
Right? We'll get Buddy Farnham on the line and we'll ask him all about his training camp stories. And then, again, guys that never really made it.
Yeah.
Scott Zolak. Again, first guest. First guest on the show. He'll be the first podcast guest.
You have good camps? Did he have good camps?
I think he did have some good camps. I think he did. I think he definitely did. Zach Sudfeld. Yeah. Excellent one, Shaughnessy. Zach Sudfeld will be in the mix.
Nico Koudavides?
I don't remember him having any good. I mean, maybe he did. I don't remember. But that's what we're going to do. Yeah, it's again, we're workshopping this right now.
Okay.
Just going to say names for an hour?
Yeah.
Remember him?
I got to talk to Jim about this and make sure he's in.
That's the podcast. Just say a name. Hey, remember that one guy? Who? That one guy, he was a corner, but they gave him a shot at safety. And you've been drafted as a corner, but he's, oh, yeah, I can't remember his name either. He was good, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was awesome.
Wait, Scott and Rentham's
the podcast.
Wait, Scott and Rentham's on the line? The Scott and Rentham?
Hey, we're doing training camp stories?
Yes, training camp stories.
No, we're not.
Oh, my God, we're going to start Parentes in dorm 15, the basement dorm. I put sod all over Bledsoe's floor in his room. So we had a sod company come in the back window. We sodded his entire floor in his dorm room and then put one of those golf flags. What do they call them things? Where they put in the hole. Put a golf flag right in the middle of his room.
Oh. Why?
The pin.
That's just to be an ass.
Okay.
Hey, don't mess my Dunkin' Donut read up either, man. I'm sitting here in my pool and I'm listening to that. And I don't say deal.
No, you don't. Dill. You say dill.
Dill.
Hey, they fixed that monitor yet? why don't they just blow up the whole simulcast now? My God.
Why don't you just
blow it up?
Why don't you enjoy your time off? Turn the radio off. Turn the TV off.
Hey, he said the important part. Send me my check, is what he said.
Yeah, hey, tell Burgoyne, I'll get him a gas card so he can drive down from Burlington. I know it's expensive to drive down there and flip a monitor.
Wow.
Thanks, Scott.
God.
Okay.
See you guys.
Okay, bye.
Scott. Scott and Rentham with a training camp story.
Whew.
See that? That's going to be great on the podcast. The time that Zoe put wall-to-wall sod in Drew Bledsoe's room. That's a great one.
How long is the podcast going to be?
20 minutes.
Okay. All right. Good, good, good.
20 minutes an episode.
Yep.
Can't back handle in. More than that.
No.
20 minutes daily.
Now he's already told the story. Zoe, remember that time you put sod in Bledsoe's room? Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Dan Shaughnessy is standing by. He'll join us here on Solak and Bertrand.
You remember that?
He'll join us in 90 seconds after headlines with McCone.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.